Hey, you're listening to Clumsy Theosis. This is the Catholic podcast where you will discover spunk and motivation to live a vibrant and transformational life as a child of God. I'm Rochelle Lucero, and I invite you to walk with me as we dive into all the things that Jesus gave us to do just that. I'm talking about the Bible, Catholic tradition, church documents, the catechism, the saints, the fathers, the doctors of the church, you name it, and I'll draw from it. You and I together, we are going to transform the world by letting Christ transform us. Hey, what's up? My name is Rochelle Lucero, and this is the Clumsy Theosis podcast. Thank you for joining me today as we talk about the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord, which I am aware was this past weekend. However, I think it's important to talk about important feasts before as well as after, because I feel like something happens maybe in the liturgy, and it's good to keep that going, to keep whatever the Holy Spirit is doing within you, keep it growing and alive within you. So, the Transfiguration event is found in the Synoptic Gospels. So you remember that one time that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his closest friends, he took them to the top of Mount Tabor. On Mount Tabor, Moses and Elijah appeared. They conversed with Jesus. The Father in heaven audibly spoke his pleasure over and his delight in Jesus, his son. And Jesus was transfigured into glorious, radiant light. In today's episode, let's shed a little bit of light, pun intended, let's shed a little bit of that light on the link between the transfiguration of our Lord and, you guessed it, theosis. And on an even more practical level, on how that link or that connection can have an amazing impact on how you are able to understand yourself and carry yourself as a child of God in a very tangible way in the world. So Archbishop Joseph Raya is a Melkite Catholic, which is one of the Eastern Catholic rites. He's a Melkite Catholic that my deacon actually introduced me to, and he has written some Holy Spirit-inspired stuff. So awesome. For instance, he wrote, "The Transfiguration is not simply an event out of the 2,000-year-old past or a future yet to come. It is rather a reality of the present, a way of life available to those who seek and accept Christ's nearness." The question for today is, how? How is the transfiguration possible for me and you today? And what are the consequences of that? The transfiguration is a big feast in the Catholic Church and even in the Orthodox churches. But in a very special way, the Transfiguration is a huge feast for Eastern Catholics. Part of the reason for that is because this feast of the Transfiguration was actually an Eastern Catholic feast before it was adopted by the West. And that is large in part to the fact that the Transfiguration event was a central event in the Christological debates during the time of the early church. So together with the baptism of our Lord, together these two events were used as proof that Jesus was in fact divine. He was fully God and he was fully man. So you can understand why the Transfiguration is one of the 12 great feasts within Eastern Catholicism. It is a feast of light. So remember that for the rest of your life, the Transfiguration is a feast of light, and you can thank me for that later. Because there are three main theological themes surrounding the Transfiguration of our Lord. The first theme is the manifestation of the divinity of Jesus Christ, which I just kind of briefly mentioned with regard to the Christological debates. Also, the encouragement of the apostles to trust Jesus as they were about to face what was coming, which would be the humiliation of the passion of their master. You might have heard that theme in homilies. A third theme for the Transfiguration is the assurance of our own participation in Christ's glory. Now, like I said, I'm sure you've heard dozens of homilies on the Transfiguration. But what I'm interested in today is that last one, the assurance of our own participation in Christ's glory. If you've listened to my Theosis Buzzwords episode, you probably recognize the use of participation. And you have probably remembered how that word alerts us to an opportunity for theosis. It alerts us that it is close at hand, that that's what's being spoken of in the scriptures or even in whatever theological text you're reading or listening to. When I hear that phrase, to participate in Christ's glory, it calls to mind 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I know this really well because it explains theosis, and I refer to it a lot when I'm explaining theosis to people, because it says that it doesn't say theosis is, but it is talking about theosis when it says that we are being transformed into the same image of God from glory to glory. Now, there's another translation, the TPT translation. Now, this translation of this verse says that we are growing brighter and brighter into his image. And I love that for today's topic, because this translation gives us an awesome visual of what is happening to us during theosis, while we're living a life of theosis. And what is happening is light. Light is happening. In 2009, when Pope Emeritus Benedict gave his Angelus address on the Feast of the Transfiguration, he said, "Today, the liturgy invites us to focus our gaze on this mystery of light. The Transfiguration invites us to open the eyes of our hearts to the mystery of God's light." So, have you ever noticed that light in the scriptures is the physical representation of the glory of God? It's the spiritual manifestation of what we would refer to as illumination. Now, Benny 16, as I like to refer to him in my fantasies, where we are good friends that meet for a coffee and just talk about theology, Pope Emeritus Benedict says that light is a sign that reveals something of God. It is a reflection of his glory. Okay, so I'm not just coming up with this on my own. So when we look at the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, when we look at the scriptures, we see, for example, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3, when God appears, it says that his brightness was like the light, rays flashed from his hand. Also in Psalm 104, verse 2, it states that light is the mantle with which God covers himself. And then in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, verses 27 and 29, we read that the symbolism of light is used to describe the very essence of God. Wisdom, which we know is the outpouring of God's glory, wisdom is the reflection of eternal light, right? And that eternal light is superior to any sort of created light. So when we're reading all of this in the Old Testament, it's preparing us to equate God with light so that when God appears on the scene in history in the flesh, right, in the person of Jesus, that we, and when we hear Jesus say, "I am the light of the world, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life," that it will mean something big to us. It's not something sweet and cutesy that we put in a song for children to sing. No, this means something big, something real about who Jesus is, right? He's God. And we cannot forget that in turn means something about who we are, especially in the context of theosis. Just saying. Now, in that same Angelus address, Benny 16 said that God's light illumines definitively human life and the course of history. Basically, it's through Jesus that human life is capable of theosis. We know this, right? Being transformed from glory to glory into his image, or now that we have a clear visual image, thanks to the Transfiguration, we are growing brighter and brighter into God's image, right? That visual is there to help us to comprehend what is happening to us and how huge it actually is, right? When we read about the event of the Transfiguration, we can see how Peter, James, and John reacted, like how huge that was. That is able to happen to us. Right? This is why Eastern Catholics and Christians emphasize that Christ's transfiguration is a prototype of spiritual illumination, which we know is possible for everyone who is committed to theosis through Jesus. But that's not where the story ends for us, okay? There's more for us to do. And I like what St. Pope John Paul II said back in 1999, because it is still true today. It's probably even more true today. And I love the insights of St. Pope John Paul II. You know that. Okay, so here's what he said. He said, "We pilgrims on earth are granted to rejoice in the company of the transfigured Lord when we immerse ourselves in the things of above through prayer and the celebration of the divine mysteries." But, you know, they keep you in suspense when they give you a nice big but. All right, so he says, "But like the disciples, we too must descend from Tabor into daily life where human events challenge our faith. On the mountain we saw," we sure did see, right? We saw the transfigured Lord. "On the mountain we saw, on the paths of life, we are asked tirelessly to proclaim the gospel which illuminates the steps of believers." So to summarize, St. Pope John Paul II says, we're called and equipped to light up the darkness in the 21st century. Or as the slogan and mantra of Clumsy Theosis states, we are called to transform the world by being transformed by Christ. And on that note, I feel like this is a great time to align our hearts with God and what he says about us, especially in relation to the transfiguration. And in order to do that, we're going to pray some declarations, right? We're going to declare the word of God from our mouths so that the ears of our hearts will follow in belief. And also when we do that, we scare the demons away. So get into your prayer posture and repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I declare and decree. Jesus is the light of the world and I follow him. I will follow Jesus and I will not walk in darkness. I seek and accept Christ's nearness. Therefore, the transfiguration is a way of life available to me. Through theosis, I grow brighter and brighter into God's image. Amen. All right, I hope you enjoyed today's episode on the transfiguration and what it means for you and your life of theosis every day, growing brighter and brighter into his image. It's a real thing. It's not a metaphor. It's real. It's legit in the spiritual realms. It is totally happening. So if you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. Leave a rating on whatever podcast app you listen to and a glowing review. It will really help people learn more about this show and be transformed by Christ and therefore transform the world. All right, until the next episode, peace out. Welcome to the end of the podcast. Since you made it this far, you know what that means, right? We're like totally best friends now. But for real though, thanks so much for spending time with me and growing in your faith knowledge and letting Christ transform you. Since you stayed this long, I'm thinking that you liked the episode. So will you do me a favor and share it with a friend or all of your friends on social media? While you're online, I invite you to check out my website, clumsytheosis.net. There you're going to find all of the things that you need, such as how to get in touch with me, how to book me as a speaker, how to find my social channels, how to sign up for our weekly email, and very importantly, this is very important, how to donate if you'd like to support the show. This show is listened to in approximately 90 countries across the globe. So if you find value in this show, please consider donating at clumsytheosis.net. Anything that you give is very much appreciated and it is super helpful. All right, thanks again for walking with me today. Remember that we can transform the world by letting Christ transform us.